Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, welcome back to the Mount Falcon Estate as part of News Talk's summer tour. We are here and we want to go back in time over 225 years. Last year would have been the anniversary to what is called the Year of the French, because in August of 1798, an expedition of 1,000 French soldiers landed in Killala Bay to try to aid the Irish in their attempt to overthrow British rule. Well, as we know, it didn't work. But they did arrive, and they were quite successful. To tell us about the Year of the French, we're joined by Joe McDermott. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You want to set this in its historical context.
I was just listening to you there talking to about Daniel Whiffen from the north of Ireland, and I was just thinking that if you go back to the 18th century, many Presbyterians left Ulster and went to America. In fact, there are 8 signatories on the American Declaration of Independence of Ulster Presbyterians. Now, that's important in the context of the United Irishmen. United Irishmen, Catholic, Protestant and dissenter, Wolfe Tone, 1791. He begins that movement, which is eventually to lead here to Mayo to the Year of the French. It was unsuccessful, the rebellion, in most other parts of the country, sadly, in Wexford and in Antrim, around Dublin and so on and so forth.
Now, it wasn't General Humbert's first trip. He almost landed in the south.
He did, with Hoche down in Bantry, but weather conditions, etc. and so on, drove the fleet back off the coast and they went back to France. They had a much bigger army, they had 12,000. As you said earlier in your introduction, Humbert only had 1,000 men.
Yeah. Now, when you think of it, to get from northern France to Killala, he has to go all around the island of Ireland. No easy maritime feat when you're depending on sail.
Exactly. And also, the British Navy were out there waiting for them, blockading French ports, etc. and so on. Britain was very frightened of the idea of France, because already Bonaparte had been through a lot of Europe and they really wondered where was he going to go next, and Ireland did appear to be a choice.
So how was it negotiated with the French government, this revolutionary government, that a consignment of troops would come to Ireland?
Well, it was Wolfe Tone himself who was in France and had a commission in the French army, and a man called Lewins, who was also, they met with Bonaparte on a number of occasions trying to convince him of the necessity of coming to Ireland. Unfortunately, of course, by that stage, the revolution was failing, so it was difficult. But they did convince him, yes, we'll go to Ireland. And they sent 3 frigates, as you say, 44 gun frigates.
And they went into the fjord that is Killala,
Yes, coming down into Killala Bay. The directory, or the French government, as we would call them, said, go to the west coast, because there will be less English garrisons and there's a better chance and we'll really get the Irish behind us. They made one mistake, of course. The local Irish here in Mayo and in other places, they weren't trained military people. They were given uniforms and nice hats and guns, but they weren't experienced fighters.
Okay, so how far did they get and what battles happened along the way?
Okay, well, the first thing they did, of course, was to capture Killala. And that was easy enough done. And we have a brilliant narrative by a bishop, Bishop Stock, the Church of Ireland minister and bishop in Killala, who left us a very good narrative. So they left Killala and headed down and took Ballina reasonably easily enough. And then one of the most interesting incidents in the whole campaign, they headed for Castlebar. Now, the British were prepared at Castlebar. They were facing towards Foxford, their guns emplaced, etc. and so on. But a canny Irish leader brought them through what we call here Mayo the Windy Gap, down through Lochardon and in the Windy Gap, and they came in behind the French almost, and behind the English, and English panicked and ran, literally dropped things and ran. Some of them ran as far as Tuam. It's reported that others went as far as Athlone. We could probably do with some of them now on the American team. But it was it's one of the big disasters of British military history, and it's still talked about.
Okay, so how did then General Humbert meet, if you'll pardon the Napoleonic reference, his Waterloo?
Right. So the next person that comes on the scene is a very interesting man, Cornwallis. Cornwallis had surrendered to the Americans in 1776. He wasn't going to do it again. He gathered an army of something like 20,000 men and started marching north to meet Humbert. Right.
Now, how many Irish were in total? Right. The 1,000 French.
The French had 1,000, but they left 200 in garrisons in Ballina and Killala and so on. And they had about 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 Irish. Nobody really knows exactly how many they had, but these were untrained people with no experience. They didn't know how to fire the guns, and they marched off. First of all, they went across towards Ballina, Colooney, and then they headed down in and crossed the Shannon and towards this famous place, Ballinamuck, where they met with Cornwallis. Now, the French...
They didn't know what was going on in the rest of the country in terms of the revolution, or did they? I mean, communications were not what...
No, they're not what they are today. Yeah. Obviously, it was a horseback, somebody gets a message. There were little sporadic uprisings here and there. In Edgeworthstown, Maria Edgeworth's country, the rebels had taken over that area, although funnily enough, they left the Edgeworths home alone. So, there were sporadic pikemen groups around the country. But Humbert was getting different messages, so he decided, Dublin. I'm heading for Dublin. I'm heading for the capital. Capture the capital and we're going to win. Now, you know, if Cornwallis hadn't stopped him, he might have succeeded. And he might have re-risen people from other parts of the country again. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. And it's interesting that in the dispatches that we have, Humbert said, let's give them a bit of a fight for an hour or so, and then we'll surrender. Because he knew 20,000 versus 1,000. No chance. So the honourable Frenchman took them on, did the first round, did the second round, said, right, here's my sword.
And knowing probably that he and his men might survive.
Not only did they survive, they were treated very, very well. They went to Dublin, they were put up in hotels or whatever the equivalent was, and they had a lovely time before they were repatriated.
And what happened to poor Paddy in Mayo?
Slaughtered, and that's the honest truth. We have to face that fact. They were literally slaughtered. I think that's the best way to describe it. Now, they had behaved very, very well, the Irish, and the French in particular. And we have from Bishop Stock how the French made sure to protect the Stock and his family from any marauding Irish men, which there weren't that many of. They were very well behaved, but they were slaughtered. They were chased across into the mountains.
So we still recall this glorious defeat to this day, the year of the French, 1798, and there's General Humbert, as they call him here, is well remembered.
Oh, yeah, it's every school kid in Mayo would know about General, and I dare say across the country, you know. It was our glorious failure, another of our glorious failures.
You're not referring to GAA, are you?
No, I would not.
You would not, I know.
I've been living here for long enough to know to mind my place.
All right. On that note, historian Joe McDermott, thank you very much for recalling for us the year of the French.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.